Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here on the broadcast. We just appreciate you dialing in. And sorry for killing the music in the background, but I want to make sure we don't have competition there. But I want to say thank you so much for dialing in. So many of you are dialing in on the Internet. I see so many. And, again, some of you are dialed in by the phone. It's good to have you with us. Again, we are a broadcast that is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're proud recipient of the Progress in Lending Innovation Award, and we're very grateful for that. Thank you very much to the folks at Progress in Lending. I'm excited about today's topic for many things. There's so many moving pieces in our industry, and you sit and look at all the aspects of what's going on, and we have on as our special guest today some folks from United Guaranty. They're talking about an announcement that they have coming up, a new release, and I'm going to just save so much of that for the broadcast, but we're really thrilled to have them on the special Hot Topic segment. This is a way you could be saving money. You definitely want to be paying attention to the Hot Topic segment later on the broadcast. We've got a full lineup. I think we've got everyone dialed in here for the broadcast. It is always so much fun. You know, I go back and listen to these broadcasts, and I go, sometimes I sound like a hyper chihuahua. If you know how much goes into getting these things ready to go, it's a real balancing act. And we do it all from a computer, and it's really fun to do it. And it's a real honor to be a part of the way you, the mortgage professional audience, gets your information. Thank you so much for the confidence you have in us and for all that you're doing to pass the word around. We now have over 350,000 listeners. It's just astounding, and it just continues to grow. It's fun to go to conferences. Everyone says, oh, yeah, I see. I listen to your broadcast, and it's just from the most unlikely places sometimes. But it's always encouraging because we're doing this for you. Well, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, United Guaranty, who we're going to have on the broadcast. We want to make sure that you understand that when you're seeking mortgage insurance, check out the Rate Runner online rate calculator from United Guaranty. Once you enter in the loan information into the Rate Runner system, you can then get an instant quote and save the quote for future reference. You can use MI Compare to run side-by-side comparisons and pick the MI option that's best for your customer. You could even compare their rates to FHA. I think it's when you start looking at the two comparison. FHA really hopes you start using United Guaranty more because they've just got too much market share, and they are just as thrilled as anybody, I'm sure. And this is not an official statement from the FHA, but I'm sure they are thrilled with it. This Rate Runner service is a user-friendly rate quote system that features only a few fields, and it's intuitive screen design, and that the program logic and it displays only the fields that apply to your loan is just really second to none. I'm really impressed with it. It also compares multiple MI payment options and offers you an easy downloadable rate quote PDF. Check it out. Learn more about it by going to www.ugcorp.com. It's mortgage insurance underwritten by United Guaranty Residential Insurance. Also, a special thank you to Velma, our friends at Velma. We had Brett Emler on the broadcast last week. Great job, a lot of great information. And I just encourage you to check out the email marketing service called Velma. Stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. Check it out at Velma.com. Really appreciate their partnership. Also, of course, we just say thank you to Joe and Alice and Andy and everyone else for being a part of this broadcast. There's just so many. Even Paul Mollo just dialed in. He's going to be giving us an update. So let's get into what's going on with the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you here with us again.
Hey, I got a nice report today. We're up about 6:30 seconds on the day. The economic data that came out has been mixed today. Early this morning, the Empire State Index rose to one of the best levels in like 4 or 5 years. So that was a bit of a surprise. But then
27.5. Yeah, 27.5 versus the 16 anticipated. That Wow.
It was a big miss. Big miss to the upside. But, you know, that you would think would be negative for mortgage rates, right? But what followed that was an industrial production number that fell short a little bit. It is by far and away the more important of the two economic events. But August industrial production fell 1% when growth of, not 1%, 1/10 of a percent when growth of 3/10 was expected. So, and, you know, the market's kind of continued to improve. It's just here recently gone up a couple 30 seconds on no new news that I'm aware of anyway. And, you know, if we end here, this is going to be the first day in five or six that we've had an up day in the market, because last week was a tough week.
Well, I was testing out your screens last week is when I was looking at what's going on. This was those were ugly screens to look at. That was a tough
week
last week.
Well, it was just a steady flow. MBS prices down, mortgage rates up. For the week, MBS prices fell 75 basis points, and rates rose about 1/8 on that movement. And the primary cause, Dave, was the San Francisco Fed. A report that was released by the Fed seemed to indicate that investors had a belief that the Fed was going to keep rates low longer than what the Fed members themselves were indicating in a survey. So that kind of news kind of spurred the market to begin to react more negatively to good news and to kind of ignore good economic news. You know, good economic news is bad for mortgage rates. So as the good news came in, the market seemed to react negatively in price to that news. And then as weaker economic data or other news that should have been good for mortgage rates came in, it kind of ignored it. So it was like I said, it was a tough week. Every day was down day last week. And just going through the days, you know, market opened lower on Tuesday after the Fed report came out on Monday evening. They fell again on Wednesday with no data. They fell a little bit on Thursday, despite what should have been good data, an increase in jobless claims, a strong treasury auction, dollar rose against the currency, most European currencies, and additional sanctions were announced. I mean, all that you would have expected to have been, you know, good for mortgage rates, good for MBS prices, but it still fell on the day. And then on Friday, the really good data came out, and it fell much more on Friday than the other days. Both retail sales came in, you know, not a great deal better than expected, but the current month was right on, but the prior month was revised a little bit higher, and you know, that's a big report. So any sort of positive miss there is important. Consumer sentiment rose to the best level of the year last week. So again, not a good week last week for mortgage rates. Starting out this week better. This week is going to be dominated by the Fed. Its meeting starts meeting tomorrow. The statement's going to be released on Wednesday, and I'm unclear as to whether or not there's a press conference. I've not seen the conference on anyone's calendars, and we're not carrying it, so I guess Dan knows better than I do, but it was on the Fed's website. So at this point, let's assume there's no conference. The market is looking for a little bit of change in guidance from the Fed, where they're going to become, you know, more data dependent and less driven by time constraints. They expect that keeping mortgage rates long for a long period of time following the end of the QE, that language is likely going to be either removed or certainly replaced with something more data dependent. Before the Fed meeting, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. No. I was going to say, I'd love to get your thoughts at some point in time. Not this broadcast because we're so tight, but the thoughts of you looking at what's going on in Europe with the ECB and their policy. They came out, kicked in a QE program, quantitative ease program equivalent, and we're backing out of it. You know, just real quickly, what's your thoughts on that?
My thought is that once the QE was announced in Europe, the market has nothing to look forward to, and it's fallen ever since that day.
Yeah, so
there's no additional announcements to kind of rely on to look forward to, and the data certainly has not been extraordinarily strong or terribly weak, and so it's you know, it's had a drifting lower effect.
It is interesting to see how global we are, and it's interesting to see how the Feds really just have such a direct impact. Looking over a couple of your other notes, let's make sure we get those covered before we go to a break.
Yeah, the CPI and PPI is going to come out tomorrow and Wednesday before the press conference or the Fed statement. And then following the Fed statement on Thursday and Friday, we have things like housing starts, jobless claims. And interesting, not economic news, but Alibaba's IPO comes out on Wednesday and then on Thursday. And there is, Scotland's vote for independence is scheduled for Thursday and could be interesting as it has the potential of that happening has weighed on the currency in United Kingdom. And, you know, we'll see if it actually gets passed. It's become it's a much closer vote per the polls than it's ever been in the past. So it'd be interesting to watch. Yeah. So that's it.
Always lots to watch, and there's and things react. Do you think it's economic data? There's foreign foreign information with foreign events going on overseas. A lot to track, and you do a great job, folks. If you are not checked it out, MBS Quote Line. You want to listen to this message and sign up. Great service. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
And we're back not only just with some good stuff, but we're back with What's Happening with Wit and Wisdom by Paul Mull. Paul, I don't know. You're just one of those guys I just always enjoy listening to, and I always get a smile on my face because you just have the gumption to speak it like it is, and I think that's what's so refreshing about the way you write. Good to have you on the broadcast, my friend.
All right, I'm going to throw one at you, Dave. Nothing's happening this week. No news whatsoever. I'm out of here.
Right. As if that's not true. We know Eugene's got at least I guarantee he's got an announcement coming up. You want to stay attention to that. But there's a lot on your website again. Once again.
Oh, as great, always. And I, by the way, I always enjoy listening to Joe's comments about the MBS market and what he has to say. I always find it very, very helpful to what I do. So I always appreciate him coming before me to hear what he has to say. Probably no big surprise. We crunched the numbers out of the call report data. Banks are continuing to put mortgages on their balance sheet. Interestingly enough, you know, they're losing market share when it comes to origination, and that market share is going to the non-banks. But what are the non-banks doing? You know, they're basically once they originated, they offloaded to who? The bank. Some of the jumbos are coming to market in the form of securities, but you know, as the non-banks gain market share, they're basically selling those loans to the banks. Almost, you know, it's interesting to watch it happen. Banks, you know, back out of originations to some degree, but in the end, what do? They buy the end product from the non-banks. So, yeah, it's interesting. We didn't quite spin it that way, but you know, that's essentially what is happening. And case in point, the number two story on our website about Impact, they have they launched the non-QM program a couple months ago. You know, I remember the time interviewing those guys, and I said, well, who's buying your product? And they said, well, we're not going to tell you. It's a bank. And I'm like, okay, which one? I said, well, we're not going to tell you. And then today they put out a release saying it's Macquarie. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. The Australian mega bank, they're buying the non-QM loans that Joe Tompkinson and his group at Impact are, originating. Very, very interesting stuff. Number three, this story apparently broke in some version last week. George Brooks did an update on it for our website today. Apparently the White House is having a big powwow on Wednesday with lenders and banks, basically to go over, you know, what you can do to make more loans to first-time home buyers. One of the things they're going to discuss supposedly is LLPAs, which is loan level price adjustments in the first time home buyer market. I don't know much about the details. We know there's a meeting. I believe as someone from MBA will be there. So that's interesting. We'll see what happens there. We also have a story about a Colorado lead generation firm getting slammed by the FTC. They got fined $500,000. We generally don't we don't cover those kind of things in depth, but we put something out today. Lead generation firms are, you know, in and out of the news. I'm not quite sure how much lenders depend on them. You know, you see some of their ads in some of the trade periodicals, and they seem to come and go. You know, they're like fly-by-night operators to some degree. But obviously they're on the radar screen of the FTC, and I would assume to some degree maybe the CFPB, but I don't know that for sure. So that's out there. And also we have a little bit about the HSBC settlement, which broke on Friday. That's in, should point out there were 18 separate lawsuits filed by FIFA against the Wall Street firms that sold the non-agency MBS to Fannie and Freddie. All but two have settled, and the two remaining are Nomura and Royal Bank of Scotland. As we all know, you know, RBS is owned by who? Great Britain. So, and then if Scotland leaves, what happens to that? I don't know. I just throw that out there. In short takes today, we had some right at press time. Brandon Ivey got the scoop that Two Harbors, a publicly traded mortgage REIT, is coming out with one of their first jumbo MBSs. Apparently, it's a $373 million deal. We also checked on Fannie and Freddie's common stock. We heard some talk that some of these hedge funds might be dumping some of their holdings. And lo and behold, we checked on the stocks this morning. They're about at $350 a share. Back in March, they were at $6. So, you know, maybe something's going on. Also, a little blurb about Fairholme, one of the hedge funds that's suing the government over the GSC takings cases, the sweep of the net worth. Apparently, they hired Tim Howard as a consultant to one of their law firms. Tim Howard is a former CFO at Fannie Mae who left in the mid-2000s amid some civil charges that apparently got dismissed against him. Tim's apparently a pretty smart guy, knows the GSEs inside and out. So we put that in there. That's interesting. So that's all the neat stuff, all the good stuff. It's all on the website, www.imfnews.com.
Yes, folks, if you're not signed up for it, get on. You go to the website, www.imfnews.com, and read it. It's always great. And you are going to try to tell us there was no news. Okay, that just goes.
No, I forgot to ask you what happened at that meeting in Texas last week. Was it in Texas?
Oh, Catalyst event was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, there's so much there. I mean, these are literally all the industry leaders there, and they're talking about where we're going. And no, again, they block you from coming there because they don't want you to talk about it. But it was really interesting. And the overall sense is that we're not off the cliff yet, but we are getting close, and we are, but there's some things to do. There's actually the first time there was a sense of a little bit, a hint of optimism that we might get out of this thing. And so I thought that was probably the biggest takeaway was some of the optimism. The MSR play was probably talked about so much there, and really that's where things are at. And very fascinating. Yeah, in fact, Stan Middleman was very convincing in his presentation. Of course, Chris Whalen, always a controversy and fun to listen to. Great presentations, so many of them. So it's good to have you on the broadcast. And folks,
thank
and
you.
Listeners, if you're not at imfnews.com, signed up for it, big mistake. You're missing out on what's happening now. This guy is Paul Mallow, and the group there is all about now, what's going on now. So appreciate you, Paul. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Looking
Thank
forward to
you.
Having
Thanks
you back
me.
Next week, my friend.
Okay.
Always appreciate you. Thank you. Alice, let's run over to you, get an update on what's going on. We're still in recess, right? Keep
well,
track of recess.
Yep,
recess over.
Oh, they should be back now, you know, but I guess that's always up for debate on what's really getting done, right? Is recess ever really over?
Even when they're there, it's recess. All right.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. So actually, my big focus this time around, folks, is that we've got two areas that you need to respond to in two proposed rules, because these are major game changers. You know, like we have enough costs already in our business models today for the compliance that we have to manage, and these two proposed rules are looking to expand the work that we already have. So the first one is the consumer complaint data proposal. The comment period expires September 22nd, so you only have a week to be able to get online. You go to regulations.gov, or you can go to the CFPB website, and they have a link from there. So you go to the CFPB, it has laws and regulations, and then you select notices and comments, and both of these are right there at the top. And the issue at stake here is that we already have consumers complaining and filing complaints, and that causes work for us to have to respond. We now have that the CFPB is proposing that they would post for public view the narrative portion that a consumer would write in. They say we'll scrub it, but, you know, the whole point is they want more information in the public. So essentially, we're now going to be debating our consumers over who's right and who's wrong in a public forum. You would get the chance to respond, but it would be there isn't anything that says they have to wait to post it until they get our response. So there's little nuances like that. A, I don't think they should be posted. I think it's really just such a challenge already. If you go to the CFPB website, I already have 1,000 stories that are posted on their website about complaints from consumers. So they're already getting that message out. This is another layer of time and response and then trying to, you know, put it in a court of public opinion to solve, you know, what could be a very simple consumer problem but blow up into a very big reputational problem for a customer. So you have to get out there and comment. They are due within the week, so do it now before you forget. Consumer finance, and make sure you comment that the consumer's comments should not be posted. Their stories are already being heard, and this is just going to cost consumers more money and the result of more regulation for us. The other one is the Honda Game Changer. This you have until October 29th to comment on this, but this is a huge game changer for small lenders, small community banks and depositories who already don't have to report. This could trigger that you need to report. It certainly looks like a lot of newer or smaller companies are going to have a new trigger that they have to report. So you do want to make sure that, especially that group is going to jump in and comment that they don't think it should be everyone reporting, that there should be some type of still a small creditor exemption. But everyone needs to look at the laundry list of fields that are now going to get added. And really, let's say, what makes the most sense for the purpose of HMDA? Is it really necessary to have complete pricing information that still has to be researched? That's an area I think needs to be taken out. I don't think it's reasonable that DTI is published. There's so many nuances within DTI. It's not helpful information to the public as just a number. So those are two in particular I think need to come out especially. And then also AUS results. That is not information that is something that's helpful to the public. They don't know what it means. It varies from one agency to the next. So there's a few fields I think really are an overreach by CFPB. You have until October 29th to get those comments done. And last but not least, one piece of legislation that I am trying to watch to see, because this would be a good one, actually. I love watching the ones that want to repeal
everything.
We've
got good legislation? That's an oxymoron, I thought.
Good ideas. I thought of actually getting there. So it's Senate Bill 2641. It was introduced back in July before they all left. But have that TILA. If a loan went into was held in portfolio, that would get qualified mortgage status. So if you just simply held it in portfolio, that's a QM for any company that's $10 billion or any depository that's $10 billion or less. Now, you'd have to figure out how to get lenders in there because you can't have an unfair playing field. But it's worth watching that, you know, Congress is trying to find some way for us, at least in discussion. Who knows if any of these will ever get any legs. But interesting that they're watching to try and see if we can get something to give us some relief on APR and QM. So I'll keep watching that for you. Nothing with any big movement yet, but don't forget to comment on those two proposed rules. And that's my report for today, Dave.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Alice. Appreciate you bringing it. It's so important that we stay on top of all this, and you and your team do a great job of it. Folks, we're going to be right back with Tony Garitano. I'm looking forward to talking to him about the new iPhone, see if this has any implication for the mortgage industry. I'm kind of excited about it. My daughter's already got one on order. I got to stay up with her. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Well, it's good to have you with us, everybody. I mean, sure, you caught the big announcement last week that Apple has their new iPhone 6 and 6S out, or 6S, it's 6 Plus, 6 and 6 Plus. And I got to tell you, the iWatch is what caught my attention. I got to go get me one. I know that's not good English, but anyway, what do we say? Tony Garitano, good to have you with us. What do you think is the big takeaway? Is there a big takeaway? Is probably another way to ask the question from the Apple iPhone announcement, at least for the mortgage industry.
Well, I think there is, Dave. I think that the mortgage industry has been, you know, not surprisingly, you know, very slow to embrace, you know, mobile technology and to use mobile technology mm-hmm. as a way to capture the borrower's attention. There are a lot of creative things that you can do in terms of, you know, things like text messaging and pop-ups and, you know, there are a lot of really interesting ways that the mortgage industry could be using mobile technology better to get in front of borrowers. And I think the, you know, the iPhone 6 announcement and the larger, you know, to your point, iPhone
6 Plus, yeah.
Plus, I believe. I mean, I just read, was it over on Friday, that the iPhone 6 Plus is already on back order. So, you know, the mortgage industry really needs to pay attention to mobile technology and start using it to their advantage.
Well, you do a really good job of what you're doing at Progress in Lending and using mobile technology, and I think you're a great leading example. But how can mortgage firms learn from Apple? I mean, are there some lessons that we, other than start being more innovative?
Well, the thing that really interested me about the announcements were, you know, to your point, the Apple Watch and Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was particularly innovative, especially Apple Pay.
Yes, Apple Pay was big time.
The idea that your smartphone can become a credit card and that you can pay for anything that you want by just putting out your smartphone as opposed to trying to find your credit card, you know, I think that is very innovative. And in terms of what I feel the industry can learn from Apple is that's just Apple's MO. They're always innovating. They're always trying to look differently at the situation and solve problems. And I really, you know, I really don't see lenders doing the same thing in our space. They don't look to improve the process. They don't look to innovate. They look to automate existing processes. And when anyone tells them they have to do something a little bit different, you know, it's a fate worse than death. But they really shouldn't have to be told to do things differently.
No.
They should be openly thinking about how to do things differently on their own all the time.
Yeah, what's really interesting about this, Tony, is that at the Mayor Catalyst event last week, I was at one of the last panels of the tightrope session that we were attending. It was this, is we have got to have an innovator in this industry, got to have someone who innovates like never before, and it's most likely going to come from someone outside, at least when it comes to the technology and some of the reinventing. We're talking about products and services as it relates to directly to the mortgage product. I mean, I think our guest today, United Guaranty, is doing some really innovative things. If there's some innovation it's in the MI world, they're doing it. But we don't see that being played out everywhere else, and I think you really raise a great point. So time to innovate, and one of the ways to do it, get some great ideas, is check out Progress of Lending. It's really good stuff. Really appreciate you tuning in and being with us, Tony, and sharing kind of your thoughts on that. You're our lens, which we look at the world of technology and everything related to mortgage industry technology. Thank you so much for joining us, Tony.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
It's always a pleasure. If you want to get a hold of Tony, get a hold of him by dialing 203-529 3131 or Tony, T-O-N-Y, at progressinlending.com. Let's run over to Sam Garcia, and then we're going to get the Profit Doctor right after that as we get ready to head into the Hot Topic segment. But I want to check with Sam. Again, the MortgageDaily.com has a lot of great information. I got their website up here. And real quickly, Sam, what are some of the things that you would like to highlight for our industry or for our listeners to pay attention to that the industry also needs to pay attention to?
Thanks, David. You know, what we just put out was our mortgage employment index for the second quarter. We
love
actually,
that index.
We actually tracked 19,000 more layoffs than hirings during the second quarter. And we saw that a lot of those job losses occurred within the banking sector. So,
okay.
You know, like we heard earlier, that the banking share is diminishing. And we used that data to come up with some numbers as far as, you know, where banking employment stands within the mortgage industry versus non-banks and credit unions. And non-banks and credit unions actually are doing okay, didn't have a loss in this quarter, where just the banks did. So that was kind of interesting. And then we also saw that with the latest NMLS report, it shows the registrations both for banks and non-bank originators. We saw that that state-licensed originators jumped to 123,171 from 117,000.
Oh.
Whereas in the second quarter, bank registrations actually slipped during the same period. So just a little bit more to show that the activity seems to be moving from the banks to the non-banks. And some
very interesting. Very
then,
interesting trend.
Another interesting report we covered last month was that it showed that compliance employees are in demand. So, you know, obviously with delinquencies and foreclosures dropping and with origination slowing, you have less demand for servicing and production employees. But there is that one sector, compliance, where it looks like the projection was an 11% rise over the 10 years ended 2022. So that's where the opportunity is for the moment, at least, unless we see some changes in either servicing or in production.
Everybody wants Alice Alvey to come in and talk to him. That's no question about that. That's just it's really true. But you know what's so valuable about your website, not MortgageDaily.com, folks, if you're not signed up for it, it's like the other ones I keep talking about. This is a really good one. It's not only some great stories indicating the labor, what's going on, which is really how you direct your effort, especially if you're a service provider, but also it's the reports that come out of the system. What you have as far as reporting is second to none. And again, this is a subscription-based service, but it is worth every dollar, especially when you look at the reporting and some of the trends that you track. It's very, very valuable. Sam, thank you so much. Good to have you here as always. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure,
and,
David. Thank you.
You bet. Always a joy to have you. Let's switch over to the Profit Doctor. Good to have him here. And he's in the house, and you're going to be doing a little bit of doing some house calls. So we want to hear about that, Profit Doctor. What's up?
Hey, Dave. Well, you were talking to Tony about mobile computing, and I'm going to be mobile. I'm going on a road trip. The Profit Doctor's on the road doing free house calls. And so
free.
If you're
Whoa.
A lender, wait, back
Did you
up.
Say free? I'm your business partner. What's this free thing? You know, we make money here, aren't we? We're not a not-profit.
Just like with all the time we spend to make Lickamon Lending be the best that it can possibly be, we want to support
For free.
Our
okay.
listeners. We want to support yes, our it's... listeners to Lickamon Lending by providing this additional service. So we're looking at a free house call. So if you're a lender in Little Rock, Memphis, Nashville, or Knoxville, and you want a house call from the Profit Doctor during mid-October, shoot an email, profitdoctor@mbs-team.com. And
great offer.
Set it
great
up.
Offer. Take advantage of it, folks. So let's get into what some of you always got some wisdom for us. So what are a couple of the bullet point tips that you got for us today, Profit
Doctor? Well, today I wanted to lay out some of the things I'm going to be talking about over the next several weeks. And I'm going to talk about mortgage finance. My undergraduate degree is actually in finance, and then I did a graduate degree in accounting. But I'm really a finance guy. I love finance. So I like understanding the why, and that's part of what finance does. It understands why things happen. So we're going to start talking about where do rates come from. You know, it took me a long time to figure out where babies come from. So now we're going to figure out where do rates come from, and we're going to talk about the difference between an MSR and an SRP. And why do I care? MSR and SRP, why do I care? We're going to get into mandatory best efforts and hedging, and how does this impact pricing? Because I, as the originator, I want to have great pricing, and I want to understand what my secondary marketing department does to make it so I give my realtors the best possible, well, my borrowers through my realtors, my best possible rates. So we're going to talk about why does Europe impact U.S. rates? And Joe talked about these things, but we're going to go into the whys. The what is it that causes one, you push the red button and the blue drawer pops out. Why is it that that happens? And why do I care about mortgage capital markets? How does this even matter to me? So we're going to start driving through mortgage finance, and I think next week we're going to start with talking about the difference between an MSR and an SRP. So we're going to look those up, explain what they are, explain why they're
Ooh.
Different, explain why they impact rates, and then we're going to make our way through. So at the end of this series, which will probably last till the end of October, we'll be able to have all of our listeners, all of our originator listeners, have the ability to explain where do rates come from and be able to have an intelligent conversation with your secondary marketing department to help ensure that you're getting the best rates possible. How's that sound?
That is exciting. I can't wait. And what's so fun about this, listeners, is Andy Schell has the ability to break down the complex into the simple so it simply can be simply understood. And it's not sacrificing the knowledge. That's a treat. I'm looking forward to this, Andy. This is going to be a great series. Very, very good. So what states
great,
are you going
to
be in, as far as listeners? What states?
Oh, going to be in the states, it's Arkansas and Tennessee. Cities are around Little Rock, Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, and it's going to be around the mid-October, between October the probably the 7th through the 14th.
Wow. Well, we're excited to have that you make yourself available to have other people in that area take advantage of that offer free. Boy, it's starting
well,
to
be Well, we get to see our friends.
It's all right for Lickin' on Lendy to do this for free, but now you're going around offering Profit Doctor for free. Man, that may start a trend here. We have to watch. But anyway, it's good to have you with us, and I can't wait for you to listen in on this next segment because there's some innovative things going on there. Again, if you want to get a hold of the Profit Doctor, it's profitdoctor@mbs-team.com. profitdoctor@mbs-team.com. Andy, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Good. Okay, let's get into the Hot Topic segment. We do this every week. The Hot Topic segment is to really focus on the things that are really going on. It's a deeper dive, and there's so much to cover on this, but it's really now my pleasure to bring a couple of special guests from United Guaranty. Anyone who's a regular listener of Lickin' on Lending knows that United Guaranty is the number one mortgage insurance company by sales, according to Inside Mortgage Finance, ranking for the of the first lien new traditional insurance that's out there. It is also ranking for the past, it's maintaining, it's held this ranking for the last couple of years. We're really honored to have them as a radio sponsor. Now, it's interesting, they were founded in 1963 in Greensboro, North Carolina, gorgeous place to be, and United Guaranty is among the strongest and most reliable in the U.S. mortgage insurers. I think many of you know that. If you don't have a relationship with them, what do I say? Get a hold of your local representative. But they've been really busy for the last couple months introducing its new master policy, and it's going to be being released October 1st. And it's very exciting, and they're also rolling out a new product suite called Secure Cert. Secure Cert, also on October 1st. Now, Secure Cert is a suite of five options that allow the lenders to choose the maximum rescission relief available. And, I'm looking at that. I'm not sure I got that right. But we're going to get the experts on here to talk about it. And you know, I could say talk about it. Why am I doing this? We've got the two experts. So the first of my two guests is Senior Vice President, and it's Bea Bartolome. And very excited to have her. I just love how Bartolome rolls off the mouth. It's just so much fun. She's the Head of Product Development at United Guaranty. That is smart lady, and also some of the most innovative things coming out of there. Can't wait to get her insights to what they're thinking there. It's like Apple. You know, you want to go out and find out what's under the hood, what are they doing? Well, we're going to get the Bea Bartolome on here. She has been with the company since 2002, and has served in a number of roles. And I probably already embarrassed her for saying all that I did. She's included being a senior vice president of financial planning and analysis. Kind of goes down the brainchild stuff of what Andy Schell loves. She is joined by product manager Ben Brittingham. So I always want to say that with a British accent every time I read that. I don't know what it is, Ben. But anyway, Ben, Bea, good to have you both with us. We appreciate you being here and sharing some of this exciting news with us.
Hi, David, and thanks for having us on your program. This is a great forum for the mortgage industry to discuss and learn about important issues. So thank you for the work you do to keep the mortgage professionals informed and for the opportunity to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, David. Wow,
thank you.
Yeah, we'd also like to thank you, your listeners, for spending this time to educate themselves about United Guaranty's great new rescission relief products, and it's impressive that they're so dedicated to their jobs and to their customers.
Well, I started reading that rescission, and I started looking at that, and I was going, boy, did they – I can't wait to learn more about this. Go ahead, Bea.
Oh, no, no problem. Hey, we know some listeners are commuting or may get interrupted, so you can get all the details about United Guaranty's new master policy and SecureCert at our website, ugcorp.com. There's a section on the site devoted to SecureCert, and that's the suite of products that we're going to be talking about today.
And also you can go to Lincoln on Lending. They've got their up in their upper right-hand corner, their logo is there. Click on that, and you can go there. So if you're surfing through the Lincoln on Lending website, you can also go there. But definitely bookmark the ugcorp.com website. You need to have that on there, especially what we're about to talk about. So let's get started. Is the SecureCert, got to get that out, related to the new master policy that becomes effective October 1st?
Yes. The Federal Housing Finance Agency is requiring all mortgage insurers to adopt new master policies that's effective October 1st of 2014. And it's really to provide more uniform industry-wide standards for rescission relief and claims handling. The master policy is a contract between the lender and the mortgage insurance company. And we think of the master policy as basically the very product that we sell as a mortgage insurer. It's certainly at the heart of the business relationship we have with our customers. When it comes to rescission relief, the FHFA allows for a range of choices, and we've elected to provide a set of options that includes the maximum protection for lenders that's allowable under these new guidelines. So United Guaranty is able to offer the maximum available rescission relief because of our industry-leading experience in this area. We introduced the industry's first post-close rescission relief product coverage more than 3 years ago. And coverage
that was pretty innovative back then. Very innovative.
Well, it's been used since 2011 by select lenders who signed up for the program. So our new rescission relief products under the SecureCert name are built on a solid and proven foundation of everyday usage over periods of years.
Fascinating. What does SecureNet provide that lenders haven't had before? That's what I really want to learn about.
Yeah, good question. Well, the main thing SecureCert provides is added certainty and peace of mind for our lenders. And with this added protection, lenders know that they're getting better protection against rescission, and that protection is locked in as little as 12 months. And to add a disclaimer, when we say 36 months or 12 months, we mean that during that selected period, the monthly mortgage payments are being paid on time and with the borrower's own funds, and that the loan hasn't been modified.
Fascinating.
Let me describe our SecureCert products. Yeah, it's great. There are two standard options that provide rescission relief at 36 months and three options that reduce that time period required for rescission relief from 36 months down to 12 months with the submission of additional documents by the lender. So with a standard full file submission today or after October 1st, we provide day one protection on loan eligibility and MI guidelines, 12 months relief on the appraisal, and 36 months relief on everything during the origination but first-party fraud and pattern activity. The second full-file option includes a post-close review. And with this option, lenders get day one protection on loan eligibility and guidelines and 12-month rescission relief on the appraisal and everything during the origination of the loan but first-party fraud and pattern activity. So there's also options for our lenders approved for delegated data submission, which can also be referred to as delegated, to get rescission relief sooner on delegated loans as well.
Interesting. Could you explain what you mean by day one protection? I think that's important that we clarify that.
Yeah, this is something United Guaranty offers currently. And it's another area where we lead the industry. So with an accurate full file submission, United Guaranty assumes responsibility for MI underwriting, and the lender receives rescission protection for guidelines and eligibility. So because United Guaranty examines all the origination documents during a full file review, your loan is protected from the date of closing for rescissions for issues like debt-to-income ratio errors or misapplication of our eligibility or underwriting rules. So the exciting thing about Secure Cert beyond the day one protection is that we can now offer additional rescission relief for other aspects of the loan when lenders elect to provide additional information, typically post-close.
That is, can you expand on what you mean by delegated submissions?
Sure. What we call our delegated data submission MI process, underwriters at our approved lender partners' locations review and approve loans prior to submitting them to United Guaranty for mortgage insurance. So these loans require only data to be submitted for approval of mortgage insurance, as the lender takes responsibility for assuring the loan complies with UG's applicable eligibility criteria and underwriting guidelines. And with our standard delegated program using SecureCert, the insured loan receives rescission protection after 36 months. There are two delegated options that also enhance the rescission relief and move that date sooner than 36 months. And the first offers 12-month rescission relief on the appraisal alone when the lender supplies the appraisal document. And then there's an additional delegated option under which the lender provides a larger set of documents after closing to get the comprehensive protection at 12 months.
Yeah,
to follow up
on what Ben just said, what we're really offering with SecureCert is a set of options for both full file and delegated submissions. So the five SecureCert choices provide the flexibility for all lenders to select the option that best fits in their particular business model or shop. So really, to sum up the choices, lenders can choose 12 or 36-month rescission relief, full file or delegated submission, and then they can choose the level of documentation with or without a post-close option.
That's very innovative. I imagine it's going to bring a lot of business your way. Are your underwriters equipped to handle the extra workload that's involved with this?
Well, we think we have the best underwriters in the industry. In the first half of 2014, we completed nearly 100% of our full file submissions within 24 hours.
Wow.
Our underwriting,
that's impressive.
Yeah, our underwriting
very
team
impressive.
Is deployed across every time zone in the U.S. Plus, we've got 3 years of underwriting experience with the post-close review product that we introduced in 2011. So we're ready for this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know our customers are ready for the added peace of mind a SecureCert is going to provide.
Well, I mean, you look at some of the performance statistics you guys are that Joe and Liz have been sharing with me. It is really impressive that you guys have been doing that. How does the lender sign up for SecureCert?
Well, like you mentioned before, it's as easy as contacting your United Guaranty account representative to get started. And you can find your account rep at www.ugcorp.com.
I got to tell you, you guys, I don't know who does the hiring at UG, but your reps on the field across the board, they're just such a great group of people and so well informed of what's going on, and avid fans and just really great evangelists for what you guys are doing and the innovation that's going on there. What's all I'm just looking, I've got a whole bunch of questions I'd love to, but we're really looking at our time, and we're running out of time for our segment. Any final thoughts that you both would like to share with our listeners about this?
Yeah, well, David, hey, thanks again for this opportunity. It's really been great talking with you. In closing, you know, we provided a lot of information today. Listeners can get all the details at ugcorp.com. The pages are dedicated to SecureCert, provide all the details you'll need on the various options. There's a frequently asked questions page and much more. Again, we appreciate all of your listeners taking time to learn more about United Guaranty, Rescission Relief, and this exciting new suite of products.
It is exciting. I appreciate both of you taking time out of your busy days. And now we kind of know who you've come out, Bea. We now know who is behind this innovation that's going on there. So we got to get you come back on the radio. Would you like to do that? I sure would love to have you come back sometime.
We would love to. Thanks, David.
We'd love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And, of course, Ben is up in the Seattle area. I just, you know, he's in that particular part of the country, and so he's enjoying the most spectacular weather. I can't believe we pulled him out of that gorgeous weather to come on the radio program. Thank you both so much for being here, and look forward to having you back. Congratulations on the innovativeness, some of the innovative products and what you're doing, and it's just no question why you guys are the leader with the kind of innovation that you are bringing forth. Thank you so much, both of you. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's switch over to Joe Farm, looking at the markets right now, Joe. And we've got some – this rally is just continuing to improve. It's like settling in a little bit. I mean, it's not huge, huge, but at least it's kind of erasing some of the woes from last week.
Yeah, a little bit. We're up 6:30 seconds on the day. We've kind of settled in there. We took a step up just as the show was starting and have held that level so far.
Well, that's what I wanted our listeners to know about, is we jumped up into that upper section, and it just looks like that. So a lot of great data, a lot of great information. And what I want to do, just go back. Alice, are you going to be going at any of the conferences at all? I mean, are you done with the conferences until the national?
Yes, Dave. At the moment, we are all set up to head to the national conference. We're very excited about that. We're exhibiting there and sponsoring, so it'll be a great event.
Well, I mean, I look at it as just around the corner, and I just want to put a plug in for these conferences, folks. I mean, you spoke last week. I'd love to get your thoughts, by the way, a couple thoughts of the walkaways from the conference last week that you attended. Any aha moments there, Alice?
You know, I think a few of the things for me were, you know, there was a lot of QC, right? All of a sudden, everybody's in the QC business now. But
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, there are a lot of underwriters who are very interested in, we've got to add efficiency. And so in one of our panel's discussion where we're talking about balancing quality, and we asked, you know, what is anybody averaging 4 to 5 underwrites a day? And one person raised their hand. She said, not 5, but occasionally we can get to 4. And then there was a small percentage of the room that could raise their hand for 3, but majority of the room was all they could do to get their underwriters to still hit new underwrites between 1 and 2 files per day. So it was, we had some great moments on different ideas that people were working on to be able to gain efficiencies in underwriting.
Was there any tricks? I mean, I'm looking at what United Guaranty is doing. The service levels they're maintaining is very, very impressive what they've accomplished. Are there any tricks that the lenders are using to accomplish that 4-day, because that is a little bit of the exception right now. Hard to believe as it is. Back from the days when we used to hold 10, 12.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, those
yeah.
days gone.
Those days are major gone. Right. So I think a few of the things that are fundamentals are, there's no such thing as underwriters are in compliance anymore. I mean, that just has to come off the list. If you haven't done that already, that's step one. Take regulatory compliance off the underwriter's plate. They need to focus on risk management. The second thing is the idea of having kind of a second layer of appraisals looked at by somebody else. The minute that the appraisal isn't going to be, you know, something easy to accept, then you move it to another level. You know, so people are looking at property analysis as kind of a deeper dive, and same with tax return analysis. But, you know, the bottom line is get the file, I always say get the chassis on the assembly line in as consistent and quality shape as you can. That's ultimately what makes the biggest difference in the manufacturing process.
So true, so true.
Yeah.
Speaking of conferences,
they can do 4 because they're very consistent and very, very simple business model. Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting when you start looking at where we're at in the conference that we had last week in Austin with AmeriCatalyst. This is one of those conferences that's just so interesting. You sit there and just think, I can't believe I'm listening to virtually everyone. I mean, the entire senior management team of Jenny May were there, Ted and Marion, I mean, Michael, the whole group. And then you sit around and the conversation that happens at these conferences, especially one like AmeriCatalyst, is like not like anything else. It's just so much fun to see that. And to get the dialogue, and I think we're now coming to a place in our industry where people are really recognizing change is essential. And if we don't affect that change, we don't see where it's at, what's going to happen? I mean, it's just really interesting. Now, Profit Doctor, Andy Schell, you're going to be at a couple of conferences. You're speaking at one of the MBA conferences coming up, right?
That's right, Dave. We're speaking at the Accounting and Financial Management Conference that's going to be out in San Francisco. in November. So that's a little ways away, but not that far. So that's coming up pretty soon.
No, it'll be here like in a blink.
It will be. And can I make a quick comment about compliance broadly? Is that okay?
Yes, please. I always love your insight.
People talk about compliance in the mortgage arena as, do you have all of the documents in the loan file and did you follow all of the federal regulations relating to origination? And it's becoming so much more than that. In the commercial bank arena, compliance applies to everything. Regulatory compliance reaches every aspect of the bank, technology, the vendors you hire, which is now becoming what mortgage banks are facing today because you have vendor management requirements, you're going to have more technology requirements on the vendors that we select, how we select them, why we selected them, what the financial decision behind some of the selection process is. So I think we need to start thinking in terms of compliance at the C-level. And I think that in a commercial bank arena, you'll see a chief compliance officer at the C-level. A lot of times you'll merge that with the CFO, and the CFO will also be the chief compliance officer. But we got to start thinking about compliance is not folks sitting on metal desks in the basement. Compliance is led by somebody who has the cherry wood desk on the top floor right next to the president. So we got to start by readjusting our perspective on what compliance is, what it means, and who it is, and the breadth of the impact that it has on our organizations as a whole.
That's really good. It's so critical when you look at what's going on. If you don't, you're just going to get your lunch served to you. I mean, your head served to you on a platter. It's serious. We're at a place that this industry's never gone through. I'm so excited to have all of you here as listeners, and appreciate you being a part of it. A special thank you to Alice and to Joe and Andy, and of course our special guests today at United Guarantee. I love having, you're known by the company you keep, and we're so blessed and fortunate to have United Guarantee as a sponsor. They just do a great job. And what's so neat, if you're known by the company you keep, they're number one. And that's what we're purposing to be, number one, your news source, a way to get information. And we try to highlight all these other websites, like what Paul Mallow's doing, what Sam Garcia is doing, and what Tony over at Progress Lending, because there's no way we can cover everything on this broadcast. But we appreciate you tuning in. Next week, I am really excited about our guest, Joshua Rosner, who wrote the book Reckless Endangerment. I heard him speak this last week at the AmeriCatalyst event, and I asked him if he would come on. He jumped at the opportunity. He's so excited. And of all the speakers that were there, I mean, they're all good. I'm not going to compare one over the other. But Josh is just he's such a good analyst of our industry. So if you're familiar with the book, Reckless Endangerment, we've got the author. He co-authored it with Gretchen Morgenson, and there's just some great information here. And in the book, and we're going to get an update from Joshua. He has unique perspective on what's happening in the industry. We appreciate you being a part of the broadcast, telling others about it. Get the word out. We have our Facebook page. I've got to get some work done on that. I know several people said, Dave, that thing looks a little stale here. Yeah, going to work on it. I've already got someone working there. And we've got also, you can get a hold of us through LinkedIn, Facebook, but I want to hear from you. When we hear from you, we change our program up to meet what, because we're doing this for you, the listeners. So be sure to get a hold of me. You can also email me at dlycken, D-L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mbs-team. Good to have you with us. Have a blessed rest of the week, and thank you so much for being here. Talk to you all soon. Thank you.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Albee, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.